All right, Greg. Today it's four guys talking Fresno.
Yeah. Four guys. As far as I know, we're all four guys.
Oh, we shouldn't
guys.
Be gender specific? Should we be careful about that? Well, introduce our guests, Greg.
Well, these are the two guys that have been doing Flowing with Famous for quite a while. We started to get down that road about how long, but a number of years. A great podcast about what's going on, Fresno culture, Fresno entertainment, music scene, all of that kind of good stuff, and topical. And I've known them for many years and been on their show many years ago.
True.
Least downloaded podcast.
Yeah. Set new records.
And the only guy with a gray suit on probably at the time. So anyway, I thought it'd be fun since we both sort of cover this community that we all love and often drives us crazy. We could a little cross-pollination between the two podcasts might be fun. Who knows?
We'll say their names so people know what their names are.
Everyone knows who we are. Come on.
All right. Need no introduction.
Josh Teehee and Mike C. They would know Mike as the Fresnan.
The Fresnan, that is correct.
Fresnan.
The one.
And,
the only one.
Josh Teehee has been writing for the Fresno Bee for a number of years.
A long time, yeah.
Yep, and covering all kinds of things. Again, culture, entertainment. Yep. And he's also a local musician.
I am,
How many different bands have you been in?
Right now, there are three.
Like total, how many?
Oh, total.
In your life. What was the name of your first band?
My very first band was Dr. Rocket and the Moon Patrol. That was my band out of high school. And then...
That wasn't taken, huh?
No, it was not taken. And then It'll Grow Back was the other band that I've been in for a long, long time.
So. Oh, wow.
Dr. Rocket had some cred in the ska circles,
in the ska scene. We played ska music in the late 90s as it was... We were kind of late, a little bit late to the game. So, like, while we were peaking, like, all the, like suddenly it went from there was, like, all these punk and ska bands to, like, something else. Like, within, like, a weekend, it seemed like. One weekend we were playing with a bunch of ska bands. Next weekend it was all these bands we didn't understand. And it was like, what just happened?
What's the most famous act, music act that's come out of Fresno?
Oh man, that's a hard. Well, so right now,
I guess Cher would be right.
Well, so I just had
controversial.
I had a conversation about this. It depends on what you're talking about. So
okay.
I think Audra McDonald, by far, she's won like more Tonys than any. I mean, so if we use that like marker, you know, as musician being someone who is in the definitely Audra McDonald. Other than that, I mean, Fashawn, I think, has probably the biggest reach otherwise, if you count Hanford, I guess, Steve Perry.
And even that that country band in Hanford won one of the country music TV
shows.
Poor Man's Poison. They were great.
They were a really good band. So, I mean, there's been a lot of bands that have done a lot of stuff, you know, even like Let's Go Bowling.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, people probably don't recognize, but at the time... You know, they were
touring
huge,
everywhere.
They were playing huge festivals, like these, you know, what today would be considered like Coachella. I mean, they didn't have Coachella, but they were playing the huge festivals at the time with these just gigantic bands.
So. Are they still around?
Oh, yeah. They just played.
That's what I thought.
They played this
them.
Weekend.
They keep having reunion shows. Now they like seem like they're like back. They're like, yeah, we're having another reunion.
They played
six months ago.
At Fulton 55 for their... Because they played the opening weekend, you know, 8 years ago or whatever. So
well, they were playing when I was in college, so that was a long, long time ago.
They were the band, so they were from Kingsburg originally, which is where I'm from. So they were the band that, like, we were like, oh my God, these guys are so awesome, you know, because they were doing it all when we first started, you know. So,
and that, so, like, if you think of Sacramento, there are some bands that have made it pretty big.
Mm-hmm. There are a few. Bakersfield has a couple bands.
Bakersfield has
Korn, right?
Korn.
Yep.
And Dwight Yoakam.
And Dwight.
And
Buck Owens. Yeah.
So I always wait for us to like have that breakthrough.
I mean, I sort of feel like Fashawn's the one. Like, I mean, I feel like he's already reached that almost that level. The difference is it's like hip hop, so it's like, and his specific style of hip hop maybe doesn't transcend in the same way that, like, you know, metal did when Korn got big. But I think he's close to that level, you know.
Then we had Kevin Federline, who was famous in the music circles.
We did have Kevin Federline.
That's
true.
What's the guy's name who wrote
Timmy T.
Werewolves
yeah,
of London?
Yeah, Timmy T.
Oh, yeah. That
Werewolves
is,
of London. I should know that
we
before
talked
I said
about
it.
Him once. In,
but he went to Bullard for a couple of years.
This is one of those things of who's from Fresno
right. Yeah. I think Timmy T is actually someone who we you got to talk about because he did have a number one hit, you know, with now I'm going to blank on
one more try.
Oh, and that is a great song, by the way. So
I almost it's a good thing I haven't had any beers because I would have started trying to sing right there. So I was able control myself.
Knock it out.
I'm good.
So what do you guys talk about? You have inherited one of the. Like a podcast that existed before there were podcasts, right?
Yeah, the Flowing with Famous.
Pretty much, yeah.
The one that we share. I like any good podcaster. You guys are gonna have more shows. Don't you worry.
Oh, Paul already has it in the works.
Podcasting is like very much like having a band. You end up going into another one, and then you play with the old one, and blah blah. But Flowing with Famous started with Jerry Houston. Reed May, Malcolm Sosa, back in late 2004, which is the beginning of podcasting, and it was a culture. It was Fresno culture. They concentrate on the arts, you know, a little bit.
It was very much of the scene that they were in, you
right?
Know,
and the broad, like I can remember. It's one of the reasons why I started podcasting was Jared was like. You know, you can do this. This is really, and you know, anybody can do this. And they wanted to have somebody else with them because they were the only ones. And I mean, almost the only ones in their whole country, almost, let alone Fresno. But, yeah. And I was like, God, I want to do this. And because it was so crazy because they did a show at Broadway Lofts
Studios,
or Studios.
The art. Yeah.
And I was like, I'd never heard, like, wait, you. Because you didn't hear that in radio. People didn't go to an art studio and record a show. I was like, this is like blowing my mind. You can go to an art studio and talk to artists, and Fresno has artists, and what's happening? And that was yes, podcasting. Finally, right. Somebody is doing what, like, I would beg morning shows to. Anytime a radio show would start talking about whether it was morning show or Reapleton, whatever. Would start doing a Fresno topic, even though it wasn't political. People would go start calling like crazy, and I would be, you know, listening harder and more intently, and then they would just go away and talk about some national thing. I'm like, why doesn't somebody just talk about local the whole time? Because that's all we can, like, I can hear national politics or national pop culture news from somebody anywhere else. I want to hear, talk more Fresno stuff. And then when podcasting came along, I was like, now anybody can do
this. It is.
And now I have to do it since I've been complaining about it.
Right.
That's always a good rule. Yeah. After you complain for 2 weeks.
Right. Then you got
to
do
someone ought to do something. Then all right, I guess
I'm going to have to be the one. Nobody else is doing it. Which is a very Fresno thing, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, when you don't see something in Fresno and you can be the one that makes that change.
I feel like a lot of the best stuff in Fresno has happened that way. You know, like Rogue Festival, you know, the Fresno Filmworks.
Art Hop started that way.
You know, Art Hop. Right. I mean, it's just like, oh, we need this thing. Okay. And then someone steps up and does it, you know?
Yeah. And now there's a way to actually promote it,
right.
So, which is also great. You know, you are part of a shrinking newspaper.
It is true.
Through no fault of your own. But that's how we got a lot of our local culture.
Yeah.
And there's definitely a void. Hmm. And we don't have one of those really, you know, it's surprising, I guess, when the marijuana industry takes over, that'll be funded, you know, all the nightclubs.
Right, right.
What do you call those? Like the entertainment once a week.
The alternative weeklies.
The alternative weekly.
Right.
Portland weekly.
Which we've never really, we have never had a sustainable one, which is, I also feel is really interesting that no one's been able, but I think it just takes a lot of capital to start. And I just think no one's... There's been people that have tried. And actually, right now, there's the Fresno Flyer.
Oh, yeah.
It might only be online. And I think that's like... There was a Fresno Flyer back in the day, I think.
Well, and someone did printed so a couple of them.
So I think this is... I saw something from them a couple days ago and thought, okay, this is really cool.
So what is the Fresno Flyer? Is that kind of things happening in Fresno?
Yeah, right. It's like...
But alternative.
Yeah, like an alternative kind of
funded by tattoo shops and strip clubs.
Seems
and
that way.
Those kinds of things. And when you go to other cities.
Right.
It's all Vice kind of deal. Right. And then nightclubs just have that like strip down every page of every this week.
And it's interesting. I don't know why someone in Fresno hasn't been able to make that happen. Because it seems like it would be open season for someone to come and do that. But...
Something to think about.
I remember what you used to work before you went into the B proper was that Fig Garden Villager.
Oh yeah, the Fig Garden Villager.
But was that owned by the B the whole time?
No, it wasn't. You know, so that was paid for by the Fig Garden Villager, the property management company or whoever.
And yeah, the merchants,
and they contracted it out. And so the B had the contract.
Look forward to reading that.
It was good. Again, it was local,
right. And it was a weird that was a weird thing to do because you're writing. It's paid for by the merchant, so you're writing about the merchants.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, they have an idea of what they think is going to be a good story or whatever. And a lot of times it's not. Like, you know, and so it was hard to, like, we, as a journalist, you want to be like, okay, I want to craft a story that people are going to be interested in and want to read. And they're like, no, just tell them about how we have this product, you know?
We have doilies.
Like, I get it. I understand you want to talk about your product.
Special doilies. Can't find anywhere else.
1,000 words on doilies.
Not a lot of investigative journalism.
Right. So it was really like, I don't know. Yeah, that was a difficult thing to do. But
good training.
Yeah, no, it was. It was fun. And I got to know a whole lot about
Neighbors. Did you write for Neighbors?
I wrote for Neighbors.
That's right.
Well.
You did.
That's where I started. I started with Neighbors.
That was a Fresno Bee
weekly. And at one point they had like Northwest, Southwest, Northeast, Southeast, something like that. And then they consolidated all those into one, so it was just the Neighbors. So I started then, and I started doing sports. Features and it was all mostly feature stuff, and once a week, and then I worked there for however long, and then moved into our custom publications, which was like the Fig Garden Villager, and we have a magazine had a magazine, some other stuff, and that's when I got hooked up with Fresno Famous. So when Jarrett sold Fresno Famous, it got taken over by the B, and they essentially said, here, you know stuff. Have fun with it. So, and then from there, I took over for Mike Asageta, who was the music writer at the time. Yeah. And now, you know, all that stuff's gone out the window completely. So it's like there's not that kind of thing doesn't exist. So, like, technically I'm the music writer in that I'm the one generally writing about music, but that's not even really... an official title anymore, you know.
You just get to do what you like now.
Kind of, you know.
That's good.
Yeah. I got to pitch it hard, but.
When Mark, he tweeted out, like, so I'm not just doing sports anymore. What else would you guys like?
Right.
We're all tweeting back, you know, what we think he ought to be doing. It's like democratizing media.
Right. So, yeah.
Now we don't have... that neighborhood paper anymore because we have this, what is this neighborhood Facebook thing that we have now for our neighborhood that I just hate because it's, you know, we saw a lady looking in mailboxes. Yeah. You know, it's just, it makes you feel like...
The Nextdoor app.
Some of them...
Yeah, Nextdoor.
Nextdoor is okay. There actually is a Facebook group called Help Stop Crime in the Tower District.
It was the worst ever.
And it is... ridiculous. I mean, it is ridiculous. I mean, yeah. And there's actually a help stop crime in the town, which is a bunch of people against the other. I mean, that is something that's happening now. It's like a lot of people's news is being transmitted that way.
We're giving it to each other
Facebook
now.
Or through you know, these other...
Mrs. Cratchit has a Facebook page now. You don't even know who that is.
Right.
Is that from Bewitched? I think she was the lady that was always looking
up. Oh, is that right?
Always looking up. She's kind of a...
She was just watching what they were doing, basically. Her whole day was watching across the street.
So you do some Fresno entertainment stuff, and you say you've been venturing a little bit into politics.
Well, yeah, we used to not... Because I never had confidence about talking politics. I still don't, but I... As we've grown older, we've sort of let more politics creep into Flowing with Famous. Yeah. And we feel a little bit more confident about talking about it or just yelling about it.
Or at least being able to lay out the situation is, you know.
Luckily, I have Josh there to lay things out in like a digestible way so I can figure out what's happening.
What? Yeah.
I'll be like, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, actually, this is what's happening.
Don't confuse me with facts.
Yeah.
Right. But I think, you know, mostly it's just that thing of we talk about whatever we talk about.
Well, I want to ask you this, guys. Do you think we talk about this, Josh and I? It's
you're going to drop a bomb now.
Yes. I can't
wait. You're going to explode this thing.
Get the sneeze cough button.
Is Fulton Street at this time and place where he is advanced as you had thought it would be?
Hell no. I am.
Now you got Craig going. Yeah.
Not happy. Where did I put the blood pressure medicine? No. So when we did the research, we found that 90% of the city's revitalized in 4 years or less after they opened up their pedestrian mall.
And where are we now? We're at three. Well,
but what we found is that the 10% that didn't do it that quickly took 10 years.
Oh wow!
Oh no!
All so right. That's so not good. Eventually like they got there. Right?
They all got there.
Okay.
Yeah,
see, that's all that matters.
And I was
they
like,
all got there.
So the problem when I would tell people that is I could see them go like, oh, well, 90%, we can get in the top 90%. No. That is not the approach. My approach is staying awake at night worrying that we're not in the top 90% and we need to act accordingly. And we haven't. So right after Fulton Street opened, I ran into the mayor downtown and he said, what if we, you know, had one idea? And I go, well, let's talk next Friday. And I started out by, I did a little PowerPoint thing for him and said, you know, here are the things that we're going to have to do to be in the top 90% and revitalize during your first term. And if you don't do them, then we're in the 10-year mark and you get credit for zero of this.
Yeah.
And he actually, the funny part is he was actually more aggressive about going after it, but you could see his staff just like going, well, we're not too sure about that. And we'll meet again in a couple of months, which of course has never happened. And you could just see them dilute the whole thing.
Right.
It was really, but no, we're not on fast path.
What's the thing? Like, what do you see that we need more of?
Well,
where easy fix, like right now, if we could just the one thing that, you know, magic that you could shake the wand and have happen.
Well, I think I'll take a couple.
Okay.
One is we wrote the rules so that you could do outdoor dining by right.
Right.
You didn't even need a permit.
Uh-huh. But that's not.
And
the
now
case.
That has not happened, and now it's like a 6 month to a year approval something that we wrote in the code that you don't need.
Wow!
So that really bothers me because that needs to be like instant. Because when you see people out on the sidewalk, everything changes.
Yep, no, that is true.
The other smart meters. We got this coin operated.
You were going to say
yes. We just had a big parking show. Just
listen to that one.
And the third one, which again, the mayor was actually like, let's do it. As I said, you got to send out a notice to every property owner of a vacant property and say, you have 2 years from the day that we are going to come after you to not, because it's a state law. Every building has to be up to California building code, whether it's occupied or not. Mm-hmm. And we just haven't held them to that and say, look, no, you either need to fix it or sell it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we could go after you in 30 days, but I'll give you 2 years.
Right.
But the clock is starting now.
Right.
And get that going.
And they just haven't no. been wanting to do.
No, because it might offend some people and those kinds of things. So,
and I mean, that is the true thing, you know. Hopefully that would give someone incentive to get people in the buildings, because, you know, that's the thing to me, that when you walk in, there's all these empty buildings. But I will say, I just walked down Fulton Street today. There are stuff going in those buildings.
Oh, it's better. No doubt.
You know, I mean, it definitely, there is momentum. And if you especially look at 10 years, so I've lived downtown in the cultural arts district, Fulton district, for 10 years, so 2008 to now. And the change, I mean, it's night and day. I mean, it's when I first moved there, there was literally nothing. Tokyo Garden and warehouses. That was it. Scary warehouses where, you know, I would walk to Tokyo and, like, have to, like, check myself around the corners because it was so scary. And now it's like, it's a neighborhood down there. There are people out on the streets, and, you know, there was the vibrancy of that neighborhood all the way down Fulton is just, to me, like night and day. So,
yeah, I was going to jump in and say that too, because Craig knows all this stuff in and out, and he's the expert. But
and being impatient is
know
part
Fresno,
of the way that we get there.
And if we start telling Fresno, you know, it's not quite where other cities are, people are like, oh, it's a failure, and, you know, screw it, let's all just go where there's parking up north. You know, that usual old grumpy Fresno guy thing. So I still want to say it is still super cool. Every time I drive down it, I'm like, this is amazing. Fresno did this finally after all these years. So I just want to tell you, it's still super cool, and it's still growing and is still moving in the right direction, if not quite fast enough.
Yeah. Right. That's how I'd say it.
You see pockets too, you know? I mean, I think what's happening down there with Tioga, Zach's Brewing Company just opened next door. There's another one. Like, that little pocket is going to be, but it's going to be awesome, you know? That right there where the radio station is, right next to Warner's, that Warner's Theater complex, I think, has finally got itself together.
Hopefully, that's
really
good.
Nicely. So, I mean, I think there's, now it's just getting it all together. You know, Renoir Corner, I think, or Renoir, like that strip, I think, is doing really well. So now it's like, how do we piece all of those together so that it's cohesive?
But what's important about what you're doing there, though, Craig, and talking about, is our city leaders have to keep a vision rolling forward. You have to keep casting vision.
So, and here's the thing. This is a problem that I feel like Fresno has, where there's someone with vision, and they're cool, and they bring in a bunch of people, and they study it, and they put together a plan, and that plan is awesome. And then 4 or 5 years later, someone else comes through and goes, wait a minute. And then they just do away with it.
Yeah.
And then we lose out on all of the momentum that we had because someone else was like, what are you doing here? It's like, well, we showed you what we were doing 4 years ago, you know? So that's kind of a frustrating thing. So I think you're right. We got to hold feet to the fire in some cases.
Absolutely. And the cities that have done well have had 3, 4, 5 successive mayors in a row that have been all for these kinds of changes, and they're not undercutting each other or whatever. It's more like passing the baton, and you get to take it the next however many steps forward. And I think that's something important for our community to consider, you know, like, and expect, but also like being selecting people who are for things is really important.
Right. As opposed to just against whatever.
Yeah. And by being for, like, as a participatory thing, because a lot of people have said, you know, I'm for the arts, or I'm for downtown, or I'm for local business. And then you go, and what action did that lead to? Right. You know?
We need Fresno needs the progress. I think right now what's happening is we have a, let's keep the lights on and the potholes filled guy, which is fine, but we need to be growing a lot more before we can just be like, just worry about keeping the lights on. And that's that, to what you guys are saying, it's like we're kind of stunted right now, and I don't know how to fix it other than yell at a microphone.
That's part of it, I think.
I hear you guys hinting you've been yelling about this stuff a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, but then we're like, well, did you go? Have you been to Yard House lately?
Have you been to the new trampoline place out in Clovis or whatever? Place is really awesome. Which is, I really do. Yeah. There's a trampoline place in Clovis that everyone.
But what about that night? The dark golf place on Blackstone next to Whitey's Pets.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I saw that.
This is the new one. It hasn't opened yet. I'm super excited.
Oh, there's another one.
Axe throwing.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Coming. It's going to be, I believe it's where the old Stevens Bicycles is. Palm and
Shields.
Palm and Shields. Yeah, by
Fresno High School, isn't it?
And so they're supposed to have a open house February 8th, 9th, 10th,
axe
something.
Axe throwing.
You'll be able to go. Yeah.
That's
so I'm very
thing. Oh, now we're with
it. It's super hip. It's super hip.
We got Hella Ninja.
So Sam from FTK and from the Grizzlies, he gets real mad about these things because you know, he's always like, Fresno does cool stuff, and no one really pays attention. And then 2 or 3 years later, after someone else does it and then brings it to Fresno, then everyone's like, oh my god, this is so cool. So he was all mad about the axe story because he's like, we had Ninja Star throwing for like, you know, a year or 2 years already. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, which was way cool.
Oh,
as soon as I heard that, I'm like, Sam, I didn't think you could top yourself.
Oh, no. It was really cool.
Ninja Star throwing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That was one of the pop-ups that on the Fulton Street party.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Hella Ninja, and he has this thing about, you know, if ninja stars are illegal, then only criminals have ninja stars. Legalize it.
And so we got, they were not real. I mean, they were real. They weren't metal. They were plastic, and then he had some setup, and you could go and throw. It was really, yeah. Target, and then you get to take the target home or whatever. It was a lot of fun. So
what are the topics you guys hit that have gotten reaction? I don't know how you measure reaction, man. But what's really drawn reaction of things you guys have talked about?
See, we don't get enough feedback to.
I know it's
that.
Hard, isn't it?
Yeah,
the reaction is whether or not we sing our theme song.
Yeah, yeah, that is our number one reaction we get is whether or not we do the theme song on our own or not. But it's kind of more of when we get something wrong or you know how it goes. Like that's when you hear the most feedback.
People want to correct. people are always like into just. Hearing about the stuff that's happening, you know,
mm-hmm.
Or like back, like kind of like backstories to things, you know, where, you know, maybe someplace closed or something. And it's like, everyone's talking about the fact that they closed, but like what really happened, that kind of mm-hmm. stuff.
Does that like, that seems like the most feedback. 'Cause when something closes and then there'll be the guy, one man and I knew it.
I told everyone.
It wasn't going to work.
I like that. I read Bethany's stuff, where isn't she the one that writes about all the closings?
Yeah,
and so every time she says something came to Fig Garden, but Uncle Harry's left, and they were very unhappy about it. I want to know
the paper source.
I want to know that full backstory to Uncle Harry's.
Because we have an out of town owner that owns Fig Garden Village now, who has no. Cares not of the history of Fig Garden Village and is like, this paper source will pay more money than Uncle Harry's. Goodbye, Uncle Harry's.
Yeah.
And people are like, no, but Uncle Harry's. And they're like, we're in New York. We don't care. And now there's paper source.
Yeah. Well, it's this thing called creditworthy tenants. Like, it's a real thing that really has undermined our country.
Hmm.
So if you own a shopping center or a shopping mall, you get judged on your ability to borrow money to buy another one or develop another one by how many creditworthy tenants you have.
We're learning something.
Yeah, and so they favor big companies as being creditworthy over little ones, even though big ones fail all the time.
Right.
But it became this self-reinforcing belief in banking and in development that we will value you higher with these big things. So if you're a conglomerate that owns all these shopping centers, you go to the International Council of Shopping Centers, you get all these same names
the IC,
everywhere.
SC, is that
that's what it is. Right. Yeah, they have a big show. They have a big show in Vegas.
Nice.
Yeah.
And that's why every shopping center up and down the 99 looks exactly the same.
All over the country.
Yeah.
Right? It's because this is what they've agreed that they value through Urban Land Institute and all that stuff, and it is now just the way it is.
Right.
Yeah, that's it's sad for Uncle Harry's because, you know, love Uncle Harry's because we know the Rutledges for one, but that they fought off Noah's Bagels. Remember when Noah's Bagels came to town?
Yeah.
And they beat him. You know, it's all like, no, let's eat at Uncle Harry's, not Noah's Bagels for the local guys. And they outlasted Noah's Bagels, but they couldn't outlast the owner of Food Garden.
It sucks. Yeah. I was one of those. I didn't even go there, and I was one of those people that was like, this is BS. Yeah. And I was. Even complaining on the Instagram of the paper source, like had ads when they were coming to town, and I was like, "This is not right. You guys are coming to town and knocking out a local business," and of course they did not respond to anything.
Did not.
And now that paper store will probably be gone at some point, you know,
probably,
or like move.
And my daughter wants to go in there. I'm like, "No, we're not going in there, honey." She's like, "But I love paper things." I'm like, no,
we're waiting for the when Uncle.
The kids at Bullard
back.
Gonna ever get bagels?
Right.
I mean,
that
this
is true.
Do you see there used to be like 30 kids from Bullard?
I never.
Back
saw
in
that.
My day, we never could afford bagels.
When I went to Bullard, we had hamburger place there. It's a bank now. The place where you made your own hamburgers.
Oh yeah.
Make your own hamburger.
It still exists.
I don't remember.
It's
that.
A chain. It still exists.
That seems
in Southern
dangerous
California.
To me.
But no, you fart records.
Yeah.
We would. I would like be like one of the first people out of Bullard running, like, because if you didn't get there within like 3 minutes, you were done. You weren't going to make it through in time to get back in time. And we'd run over there and
how long does
make
it
our
take
own burgers.
To make your own burger.
Well, I'm like, no,
you
the line.
Press? How
no,
does
if,
it work?
If you were 5 minutes late, the line was huge and you're there's no way. But those are the best. I miss that. And I miss Farrell's over there. Terribly.
Oh, yeah.
Farrell's is just.
Little Anthony's was back in my day.
There Little Anthony's.
It was a sub shop over there, kind of where. What's the smoothie place? Not juice place.
Jamba Juice.
Right over there. Yeah.
I suppose that's where all the Bullard kids go now.
Probably.
Or Dutch Brothers, which is
Dutch Brothers.
I swear.
That's where the Tenaya kids go. The Bullard and West one, they do.
Oh, man.
They have to put crack cocaine in those.
They have to.
Because my kids will kill for a Dutch Brothers.
So I talked about this on our podcast, but I had never seen a Dutch Brothers anyplace else other than Fresno. And so I just assumed it was a Fresno thing. I had some friends that lived up in Santa Rosa. There's a Dutch Brothers. I was shocked to see the same thing, parking lot, cars all around. And I was like, oh, so that must be their thing.
Yeah.
They find the crappiest location that they can to put a drive-through.
Yep.
The most inconvenient so that people will have to like drive around and then just be so angered about getting in line, you know, or something.
And there's one at Shaw and West that nobody has ever at.
Right.
No, incorrect. It is always busy. And that's the amazing thing is they built a second location two blocks
from
the other location, and both of them are packed all the time. And now there's one over here.
One
by,
here in
the,
yeah,
by Butterfish
and Herndon. Yeah. I haven't seen how busy that one is yet, but
I don't. I've only
they
been
have
there
a proper
times.
Drive-through in that one though.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not like their little
proper like Starbucks style drive-through.
Huh?
But I have two. Well, I have one at college right now, but when she's home, those two are a Dutch Brothers a day at least. It's incredible.
Me and Ed's. Do they get? Are they the?
Uh oh, don't get them started.
Me and Ed's. We got one of the Mean Ed's haters here.
I always tell people whenever we talk about pizza, people, and now I'm going to get us in trouble. We're never going to get a Mean Ed's sponsorship now, Craig. If you're from Fresno, you think Mean Ed's is good pizza. If you're not from Fresno, I mean, it's a good way to tell who's from Fresno because they're like, love Mean Ed's pizza.
Like, you apparently have not had pizza.
Mean Ed's is the worst pizza anywhere. I hate Mean Ed's pizza.
This is going to be worse than our religion show.
Hold on. So here's the thing about it.
Are you from Fresno originally?
So I'm from Kingsburg.
Kingsburg, okay.
There wasn't a Me and Ed's in Kingsburg, but there was one in Selma. So, you know, I've had it for like it's not that it's necessarily bad. It's just not. It's not pizza. It's like a different thing. Right.
It's a whole category of thing.
And it's a good category, Josh.
It's the only pizza that's not good for breakfast the next morning.
Let's
eat the cardboard box.
All right, so hold on then.
I didn't think this would be this kind of show.
You're never coming back now.
Three guys and one guy bad-mouthing me and Ed.
We could talk about the president. We could talk about the wall. We could get along. But me and Ed, that's a non-starter.
So what's the pizza? Where's the place? What's...
Fresno really doesn't have good pizza.
I believe that's the correct answer.
Mike's on Shields and West.
And Mamma Mia's.
Yeah, you know, Mike's is good. You're right. And that's about the best I've had.
Mamma Mia's is really good,
but this
and Tony's right across from Mike's.
Papalos? Okay. Nobody here likes Papalos?
I love Papalos.
It's not bad. But I mean, when you think about it, so I grew up in the Midwest, and they have these places called Godfather's Pizza that is amazing.
They had a Godfather's here.
They
did. The chain.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, Ashland and West.
Yeah.
I remember going
what?
To my... When I was a kid, and it was great. It was like super salty. That's all I remember.
I love Fresno. And we have so many genres of foods where we're just outstanding. I mean, there's no...
Pizza's not it, right?
Mediterranean, although, we kill everybody. You know, Mexican, obviously.
Sushi.
Pizza is just not our thing. There's just not a great pizza.
Have you had the carne asada pizza over at... what's the place? It's across from...
Lay's?
No. It's a little tiny place. It's across from Roosevelt High School.
Oh boy!
Oh,
I don't know. Anyway, they have carne asada pizza. It has like tomatillo sauce or something, green sauce on it. Totally awesome.
Yeah, but you're right. Mike's is probably about as good as I've had. And you know, I hate to say anything bad about any place, but you know, people were telling me Luna's. I went there and had it, and I'm just not impressed. I gotta be honest.
What about Richie's? Have you been to Richie's in the Tower?
No.
It's a pizza by the
slice.
It's a pizza by the slice.
It's very New York like.
If you haven't been there, it's probably because it's open only like I think maybe 10 to 2 a.m. or something. It's like one of those kind of places.
Oh, okay. All
right. You get the legit really slice.
You get a giant slice. Yeah, you have to fold it in half. It's very like New York style, or at least what I assume New York style would be like. And several people who I know about these things have said that that's their favorite pizza.
So. Well, I love Fresno, and so maybe I need to try to love me in it.
Well, and Mamma Mia's calzone, and they still say calzone, which I like.
Yeah.
I've had New Yorkers eat it, and they're, you know, the whole time they're saying, like, this won't be good, this won't be good, and then they eat it, and they're like, this is legit. This is as good as it gets, so... We have a few things, but
there we go. So this
is what I say. Pizza is just not the thing.
This is what we do on our podcast.
Yeah, this is it.
This is we talk about who has the best pizza.
And I still get canned mushrooms.
Yep.
From me and Ed's, which I wouldn't do that on any other food product. Would I choose canned mushrooms?
Yeah,
but there's something about growing up with that.
If I go to me and Ed's and get extra sauce,
they're not even going to let you near.
I know
me and Ed's. You're not even going to get into the shopping center.
I won't even tell you about my wedding story when they didn't show up with
you
the
took
pizza.
Them. You took Ashley to me and Ed's on your wedding.
No. my groomsmen, we had a nighttime wedding, and so we were going to eat, and so we ordered a pizza. Didn't show up. Called the young man saying, "Oh, you know, I think he went to the wrong place. We'll get you another one.
It's on the way."
And so I'm like, okay. And so then it doesn't show up, and I call back, and he's like, "Oh, you know, we called, and you didn't answer, and so we didn't send the pizza." I'm like, "I'm about to go to a wedding. I'm going to pass out like one of those America's Funniest Home Video things." And this poor kid is then like, "Well, we'll send it out now." I'm like, "No, don't send it out now. We're leaving. We're leaving the house right now." And he's like, "Well, if you don't take this pizza, you can never order from me and Ed's again." And I'm like, "Oh, trust me, I will never order from me and Ed's again."
Take that.
So well, maybe that's part of what tainted my taste.
Right.
Yeah, maybe that was it. And so for about 10 years, I never, ever ordered a B&M.
So I want you to know, like an hour before I came over tonight, I considered having it delivered during our podcast.
If I would have known, I would have totally done that.
Really
that
sorry
been
that
great.
I didn't.
That would have been great. I got pizza for everyone. Then we could
file
add
that
real...
away, Josh, next time. Ask that.
Oh, man. That would have been great.
But, yeah, any other genre food I can find a place that I really like in Fresno, yeah. I think. But it just seems like pizza we haven't hit on.
When I think, you know, the taco thing has been really cool,
yeah.
obviously. But it's I think that needs to not be where we stop with it. Like, we really...
How?
You feel like we should be, like... food in general and not just so like we're the taco
because we all I mean like Lahmacun is like an Armenian pizza
mm-hmm.
like between a pizza and a taco okay. like we could go after that. I talked to you know soccer teams their uniforms are called kits and so I was saying they could do a playoff of Taco Tuesday except with pho.
Okay.
So they could have a pho kit on Fridays.
That'd be great.
A soccer deal
great.
To play off of that, to have another kind of a playoff of, a, you know, one of our
so
heritage.
I think that...
That's the closest we've come
that,
to it.
I think that Sam...
They haven't done it so
it
far.
Happen.
Sam with the Grizzlies, I mean, I think that, like, 2 or 3 years into the taco truck throwdown, like... That's kind of what he was looking like. He wanted, and they've kind of done this. Like, you know, they've had the rib cook-off and the tri-tip.
Yep.
Like, and so his whole idea was like find these things that were like quintessentially Fresno tri-tip, like whatever, and have like a throwdown essentially, but for, and he just couldn't ever get them to stick in the same way that the taco thing did. But I think that would be awesome. I mean, yeah.
There used to be the guys that would do the taco rides.
Oh,
on Saturday, you know, they do bike rides and hit all these different places, and that was kind of fun.
Well, I'm a massive advocate for them to change the name of the team, the baseball team, to the Taco.
Oh, you think they should
just permanently go with that? Yeah, I think that's what minor league sports is about, having the El Paso Chihuahuas.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And so the Fresno Tacos is perfect. I love that.
Well, I
haven't seen many Grizzlies in Fresno recently.
Well, that was the thing. I was actually there the day that they came up with a team name.
Yeah.
The two original owners, and they weren't from here, but they're like, we came up with the name. And they came up with it because their dog, whose name was White Sox, had like chewed on a baseball, and it looked like claw marks.
Oh, and they're like,
oh, yeah. And then the Bears throwing
the ball. The ball, which is a pretty cool logo.
It was a cool logo. And they tell me, and it's the Grizzlies. And they look at me like, you know.
And you chat.
And I go,
okay.
I go, well, you know, they've been extinct in California since about 1940. And they go, no, they haven't. It's a state animal. How could you have a state animal that's extinct? And I'm like, hate to tell you this, but yeah, we haven't had one around here for a long time. Like, well, we don't care. The logo's awesome.
So, yes. They are correct.
But I love that Tacos logo. I think you would sell a lot of merchandise, and I'm sure they have.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. They sell a ton of... That's, I think, that's what's keeping him going, you know, for a lot is... Because Sam's so smart about the way that he does it, you know.
Yeah,
genius.
I'm definitely curious about what they're going to look like
now.
The
refresh.
The Nationals.
The refresh is coming next week, I think.
Yeah, they're
next
teasing it right now. So.
And I think it'll be interesting. Yeah, I'm excited to see what they're going to do with it.
I've always been big on name changes. I for years, when I was doing sports radio, sports talk radio, I was advocating for Fresno State because everybody's the Bulldogs.
Right,
there's more colleges that are the Bulldogs than any other name. And so we used to talk a lot about what team names they should have. And I was big for going for the Fighting Armenians. I wanted to be the Fighting Armenians because I was thinking, what is in Fresno that you don't have anywhere else? And but some people felt like that might not go over well with the population. So then we came up with the Chupacabras, which I also think is a very
Fresh
thing.
I think that's a great one.
So the Chupes, I've always said that.
That's
Chupes.
Great.
Be the Chupes.
Maybe we can get an NBA development G League team.
Yeah.
We call it the Chupacabras.
What's the other, the night? Crawl to the night.
Oh yeah,
thing. You know what I'm talking about.
The Nightwalker.
The Nightwalker. It's like this.
what over on Blackstone?
No, it's so. like 10 years ago or something, this guy had a video in his backyard and he caught this thing and it looks like just two pairs of giant legs walking.
Oh, really?
And so it's become this whole thing and there's
no one's been able to debunk it.
Right.
So, really?
There's people draw pictures of it now. It's this whole thing. I think it's called the, I'll have to look it up. Yeah, I think it's the Fresno Night Crawler. I don't want to say Night Crawler.
Josh will find it.
Yeah, I need to find it. Anyway, so I think that could be, that could be a really good one.
That could work.
Something like that.
You could threaten kids if you're not good.
Yeah.
not in by curfew. It's our boogeyman version.
Well, isn't that what the Chupacabra was? Was just some legend to sort of scare kids to not go make out in the field?
Probably,
like
yeah.
Did it work?
Chupacabra's a picture.
We could also probably be the Sasquatches.
Don't go on the figs.
Sasquatches? What would it have? Yeah.
Squatches,
plural.
Yeah.
We could probably be that because there's been a lot of Sasquatch.
I played a recording of one that was up
sightings.
Right here in the Sierras.
So I'm looking up Fresno Nightcrawler. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's also known as Fresno Aliens.
It says.
Purported entities said to have been sighted in the city of Fresno, in Fresno, California. That's what it says on Wikipedia.
There's two national shows, I think, came here and tried to debunk it, and they couldn't do it.
Right. There it is.
There you go.
So how do you...
You have to look at the thing, because it would be the funniest mascot ever, I think. It should be this, like, pair of legs with eyes on top of
it. It's very strange.
The other thing I advocated for with Fresno State is to call themselves Cal State instead of California State instead of Fresno State. And the school used to always get so angry at me about this. But
get out of my office, Swearjan.
Yeah.
I mean, every state in the country has a university and a state school. Right. So there's an Arizona State, Oregon State.
Yeah.
And so somebody should call themselves Cal State. And right. And to me, Cal State sounds bigger than Fresno State, even though I love Fresno. Oregon State, nobody at Oregon State is saying we should call ourselves Corvallis State.
Right, right.
You know? So I've always been a big advocate of that.
I just always, Fresno State was one of those weird ones for journalists where for a long time it was whatever, California State
University
of Fresno,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, Dr. Welty was very strict about that.
And if you said Fresno State, they got mad.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it was like, no, it's Fresno State. Don't use that other one.
Well,
it's like, oh, thanks. I've trained myself.
And if you remember, they went through this rate where people were calling them Fresno State University, FSU.
Right, and they got mad at that.
And they said, do not do that. We're not Fresno State University. We're just Fresno State.
Right.
And so that was a weird thing. And now they're calling the whole school Fresno State. So it's
Cal State. I like that. I like that too.
Cal State. And I always say, we're the state school. We might actually be the state school.
Who's a better state school?
We're the best football program in the CSU system. And San Diego State could argue that maybe they are, but their school is actually, the official name of their school is San Diego State. It's not CSU San Diego. And San Jose is not CSU San Jose. They changed their school name. So we still are CSU Fresno, even though they're kind of going by the moniker Fresno State. So I always made the argument, if Humboldt wanted to come and try to beat us in football, they could fight for the name. But other than that, it's us. Or CSUN, you know, whoever. Come try to take it from us.
Stanislaus,
right. That would be the
Sonoma.
Sonoma, right. And now that we know all of our state colleges.
Bakersfield.
Sacramento State.
Bakersfield's going to be the one. I think they're going to step up one of these days, and they're going to take the name, and then we're going to be all pissed off and have missed it.
Why didn't we do this?
Yeah.
Why didn't someone say something?
I did.
Someone should have come.
I swear. It'll be a franchise that'll come in a few years
later. That's probably true, right?
Well, that's fun.
And then we'll love it. We'll line up around the world.
Yeah. So it's just a franchise. We'll be there. We'll show up.
That's
like, ooh, this is another cities? Let's go.
Yeah.
We'll camp out to go there.
Red Lobster.
What?
People camped out for Red Lobster?
No, but they're standing outside Saturday and Sunday, waiting at their little
Olive Garden.
Oh, yeah. Someone just wanted me to go to an Olive Garden last week. I'm like,
and you
can't
wouldn't do it.
To an Olive Garden.
I go, let me handle
Let's
this.
Let's go to an Olive Garden.
We went to Cosmopolitan.
He's hung up on
them. Going like, I've never been here. Is it good?
You're like,
yeah.
It's at least as good as Olive Garden. Yeah.
I know what your standard is.
And it's not Olive Garden, but it's all
right. Or the free breadsticks.
And I, you know, like, I don't like to judge people, really. Like, I try not to, but...
like, however.
But really, like, when people just, like, want to go to all... I don't understand it. Because there are so many places... If you want to have that kind of food, there are so many better places that make that kind of food that are local that you could just... You can go and walk in, and you're not going to have to wait, and it's going to be better than that. Why would you...
Yeah, I don't think people have seen the bags that food comes in.
That is very true.
That is
very true. That is very
all of these places.
They have not seen the stacks of microwaves
Cisco,
in the back.
It is,
yeah.
It is gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is just really disgusting.
The first time that I had a friend in college who worked at Olive Garden for a while, and then he told us the stories, and that was when I started... The downward, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be going to Olive Garden.
It's like airline food, except now it's in restaurants. As opposed to someone just making it.
So, sponsorship from me, Ned.
No
sponsorship from Olive Garden.
Well, no, I'm including, most of them? These chains are...
Olive Garden's national, so we can probably get away with ripping that. The me and Ed's was a gross dereliction of duty.
We'll get Tom Fernandy in here as a guest.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't think that the DeChicos are going to sponsor, guys. Nobody mentioned the DeChicos.
No, the downtown DeChicos. I love the downtown
DeChicos. Oh, I love it. Yeah, I love that place.
Yeah,
I get pizza there.
That's the original one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the first one?
When I was
in college, you know, when we could scrape the quarters together, it was first in Shaw, you know, going over to the DeChicos, getting lasagna al forno, man, that was a big meal. Or if we could go to Selma and eat at Sal's.
That's my OG. Because I'm from Kingsburg, you know, so we would just go to Sal's like all the time.
Yeah.
And I love that place. And then, you know, I moved to Fresno and they have a Sal's here, but it's like...
It's good,
but it's not. Bobby Salazar.
Yeah, I was gonna say, are you one of those totally different Bobby Salazar snobs? Like, don't go to that Bobby Salazar. Go to this Bobby Salazar.
No, I like the Blackstone.
Blackstone Bobby Salazar.
Yeah, that's the original Fresno one that was Sal's before it became Bobby Salazar.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
right. And then Sal's moved up again, right?
Right.
Yeah, I can't keep track. Right. Just go to Don Pepe's.
There you go.
Now, is that a local? Are they local?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'm upset that Toledo's is moving from Pinell. I'm assuming somebody's going to take it over and be a Mexican place there, because that patio is the most unique patio.
Oh, we went there. Town. Yeah. Over Christmas, we all went there to, like,
say
pay
goodbye.
Homage.
Yeah.
Because it used to be El Cid.
Right.
And then it became Toledo's. But it's been Toledo's for like three
longer
decades
than it
now.
Was ever El Cid, I think. Yeah. And then there's that. I wonder if that Oakhurst El Cid is like the...
It still is. John owns that one.
Oh, yeah.
Is like they moved up there? It's been up there
for a long time. God, it was one time we came back from backpacking on Memorial Day weekend, and there was no predicted snow or rain or anything. And we got up to 10,000 feet, and it snowed for 2 days solid. We came back and hit that El Cid. And we hadn't even worn, like, sunglasses or anything, because it was just supposed to be this beautiful Memorial Day weekend. And, we had taken charcoal out of the fireplace and blacked our faces. We were lost because we couldn't find a trail. It was all snowed over. We were sunburned and everything. And we were so hungry, we stopped there.
And it was best.
That was the best food ever.
Well, the entire restaurant turned and looked. And I said, "Hey, John." And he's looking like, "Get him out of here.
Put him in the back.
Yeah, and then he did. He put us in back. And it was the greatest food ever.
Is it possible to say what is the best Mexican food in Fresno?
There's different categories.
Really can't be a best.
Yeah. So this is the thing. Because you have to, like... Because, like, you know, La Elegante, you can't put up against, you know, Sal's, you can't put up against.
Right.
You know, so I think there's, like, categories of, or at least this is how I always do it.
Yeah. Like, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Robertito's, you can't
Robertito's.
Beat it.
Oh, yeah.
You can't beat Robertito's for the late night burrito.
Yeah.
I think.
The shrimp cocktail.
Right.
Where would you go for a shrimp cocktail? What's the Don Pepe's on the gas?
Don Pepe's, probably, yeah.
Gettysburg and Blackstone, I would say. Okay. Of course.
Or what's the...
See, my favorite, I like Guadalajara's over on on Weber and Guadalajara, Shields, that place. Weber, although they're starting to fix it up and make it look nice, and I'm afraid that's going to ruin everything.
More bar now.
Yeah.
Every time that I drive by there and I see it, there's something new. Like it looks, it's nice. I mean, they're
don't take away the.
I know.
Yeah, you got to keep it a dive. Yeah,
yeah.
I really like. Los Ponchos.
Me too. Yeah. That's where I was going next. Yeah.
And I think they're, I really think it, I like that place a lot. It's a different style of food, you know, so a lot of times it's like, if you're not, if that's not the kind of Mexican food you're looking for, it might, you might not be happy, but.
Like the molcajete there, it's, it comes, you know, if you know what a mortar and pestle is.
Yeah, it's like
this, you know, like lava rock thing that comes. And I mean, it will stay boiling on your table for like an hour. You look at it and it's still bubbling. Yeah, it's just really incredible stuff you don't find. All their short rib stuff.
Yeah, short ribs are ridiculously good. Yeah.
Do you ever go to, dangerous recording and having my memory be so bad. Oaxaca over on... Belmont is another place.
That was, I was going to say, yeah.
And if you order, there's, you know, everything is, you know, normal chicken enchilada, burrito, whatever. And then they have one page that is just specialty Oaxacan items. And if you order off of that, everything is just outstanding.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
All right.
But other than that, I hardly.
This has become the food. This has become the food episode. The food which is,
that's a good
this
episode.
Is fine for me.
We're recording at dinner time. That's fine. La Elegante, though, too. Also,
yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I love La. Here's the real question that I have so often. I think it's lacking in Fresno, generally. Where, like a breakfast place. Like, where's the place that you're gonna go for the ultimate? Like, I used to love Klein's, the truck stop. Yep, like, that was, like, kind of a go-to. I just don't feel like there's any place that I really have fallen in love with as a good breakfast
spot. See, and I'm partial, and I know I'm partial. You know, Chicken Pie Shop to me is, like, sacred ground in Fresno. And I know it's probably not all of that for other people.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've been going there my entire life, you know. Chicken Pie Shop rice pudding, I would say, is probably the greatest food item on the planet. But
we have a group
for breakfast.
Group of guys that get together for breakfast on a regular basis at the train depot. First, Ashland. Huge portions for one, which I can't eat that much anymore. And then they have this amazing cinnamon roll that's as good as the fair's cinnamon roll.
Ooh.
Train depot.
That place is really good. They have great biscuits and gravy.
Yeah,
there.
They do. Yeah.
But, you know, so I was just in Palm Springs this weekend and, you know, went to this place. I think it's called Cheeky's. And, you know, there's like an hour wait for a table and people standing outside reading the newspaper. And you just know you're in for that.
That's
and
what we need. That's
every town has one of those. Well,
we do not.
Well, the...
I mean, I guess Patio Cafe is sort of...
No, like the place that we love that now the name's... Escaped me on Bullard and
Marks. Fresno Breakfast House.
No, Benediction.
Benediction. Yeah,
Benediction.
Benediction is close. All right, Benediction. Yep. I would say is close.
But
to that.
It is so tiny; it would be hard not to have a line in the place. But I mean, it's really good breakfast and
really
it's
good.
A unique food.
Very unique.
It's like you're not going to find that anywhere.
And I take my grandsons because they
downtown.
Well, they were looking at downtown, and if they were doing that, I think. That would be like one of the missing pieces of downtown.
Right. That would make me happy.
Yeah.
So if they're listening and they want to just make me...
James, we're talking to you.
Would you make me happy?
Would you guys be okay with a chain on Fulton Street? What would you think... if Starbucks wanted to open Fulton Street?
No. Not Starbucks.
Not Starbucks.
Applebee's.
Oh, no.
Applebee's taking over a corner spot.
No, really. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are some chains that would be fine, but Applebee's?
I don't know.
I had a former mother-in-law that's where she'd want to go, and One time we did the thing.
People
where
are not
going
to drive to Fulton Street.
No,
to go
I agree.
Applebee's.
Let's go to the Fulton Street Applebee's.
It is like the lowest of the low. It's worse than Olive Garden.
Here's the thing. Hey.
Applebee's isn't going to be a sponsor
I personally believe if you put an Applebee's down there somewhere in a like somewhat high trafficked area, that it would do well.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think the Applebee's people would go there. I don't think so. I don't know.
The Applebee's crowd. I don't know.
Well, I mean, are people really driving to Applebee's? It seems like Applebee's is just the place
it's
you go.
It's there.
You're driving past and you turn in and they have one in every.
They have food in there.
You're going to the Little League game and it's right around the corner. That's true.
So stepping back, though, to change.
Are there chains on other turned around downtown main streets?
Absolutely, every one of them. Yeah. I mean, even if you walk down in San Francisco or New York or whatever, you're going to see McDonald's and Taco Bell.
Yeah.
And
everything. What do we need to do? Something McDonald's or like Chipotle. I think you know someone had talked about this, but like one of them, like mini Targets or like one of those.
Yeah, be good.
You know, that's to me something like that would be transformative for the neighborhood.
Chains are not inherently bad.
Yeah.
I when I was in Pleasanton doing their downtown, I took a bunch of merchants down to San Luis Obispo because they had opened the Gap, and people were like just furious about the Gap coming to downtown. But then they had opened, and then I took my merchants around to talk to other merchants, you know, peer to peer, and they're like, yeah, we hated it, and our sales have been up 500% since they opened. And because local businesses don't have a marketing budget, and these chains are, they all do, and they will spend money that will bring people to you.
That's what I was thinking. If you have like you're saying, a Target down there or a storefront McDonald's, sort of like you would see in San Francisco or someplace, that's going to draw people to the local businesses around it.
Not every place can be amazing, even in places that we consider amazing.
Yeah.
Right? Well, and I think that
it's hard
just
to
like,
do amazing all the time.
Seeing something like that just clicks in people's minds of like you're walking down the street and you see something that's like instantly familiar and you go, oh, this McDonald's is here, so it must be a place that people want to be, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's some legitimacy.
Yeah, there's some legitimacy that I think you... To me, having something like that on Fulton, I think is what we need. Yeah. Just from the standpoint of, like, the visual standpoint of people going, oh, okay, it's we're where we need to be now. You know, I think we need that outside, like, verification... So that we go, oh, okay, Target's there. It must be nice or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, you want diversity. So, you know, you want big and small. You want, you know, if some chains in, you know, give you some stability, I think, that you don't get from just all mom and pops. And, you know, there's really, although, you know, Sam Adams was the mayor he was a former mayor of Portland, who played the mayor on Portlandia. And he told me one time that the general manager of Applebee's in Portland complained to him that it was one of their most, you know, least performing Applebee's in the country, you know, on per capita or whatever like that. He goes, you know that if you weren't visible from I-5, you wouldn't have one Portlander in this restaurant ever.
So I was in Las Vegas. And I'm walking down the strip, and there's the giant P.F. Chang's in Las Vegas. The only place that didn't have people in it, like, there was no one. They have tables outside, no one out. Everywhere else, people, done. And I'm like, wow, that must be really sad for that P.F. Chang's to be in Vegas. I mean, there were probably people inside, but, like, looking at it from the outside, it was like, you know, ghost town.
Well, and when I take people down to, like, Old Town Pasadena, you know, there they complain that they have too many chains.
They have an Apple store.
But they have an Apple store. They have, I just blacked out on the Cheesecake Factory right on the corner, you know. So they're, I mean, that's a great American, a great California downtown. One of the best, I'd say. And they have a mixture.
Yeah.
There were some others. What else? A lot of stuff that we had in the mall. Fashion Fair Mall.
Yeah.
they have in their downtown. Yeah. Victoria's Secret comes.
So this is what you guys do on your podcast.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah,
pretty much.
So we can't. So we shouldn't Mike automatically reject if a chain pops in there wanting to come. We shouldn't automatically reject it. We should look at it.
Yeah. Well,
like when Starbucks came to the tower.
Yeah. At this point, gosh. It's
That's crazy. Yeah. Or how big that was, and now you don't.
It was
even
crazy.
Think
yeah,
about it.
Like remember, it was like people were freaking out. Yeah. Like, wow, could you let Starbucks come
in? In Pleasanton, they had a fit when Starbucks was coming while I was there, but then Tully's came in afterwards, or Pete's, mm-hmm. one of the two, and like nobody cared about that. And
they're
the second or third biggest in the country. Yeah, doesn't draw the same ire that Starbucks does.
Just we could like get that Dunkin' Donuts down there. Everything would be fine. Just saying.
I think we should get a Tim Hortons.
Right.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Just skip right
that
over.
That's the weirdest, randomest.
Well, that's a Canadian.
It's
Canadians.
Nowhere else in California but Fresno.
That's right.
That would be cool. We should work on. Let's get a campaign going on that.
Hortons.
I'm in.
Well, there's a Black Bear Diner in Fresno now.
Yeah, that is true.
Forever had, it was not. They were that everywhere
was,
around us.
That was a big deal. Too.
I have mixed feelings about that because. Whenever
I'm trying to think if I've been in one, but I get that confused. What's the Fresno chain where we've eaten breakfast before?
Yosemite Falls. Yeah.
There's one of those off of 99.
Yeah.
Yeah.
99 in Ashland.
99 in Ashland.
That was like the funniest location.
Mm-hmm. It's a weird place.
And there's a blues musician that I like that was going to play there.
It's giant. Yeah. It's like a complex.
It is. Yeah. It's like a casino.
Yeah.
It's gigantic. There's nothing else around it.
But it's like one of the only.
And
Josh
you confuse
and I talked
that
about
with
this.
Black Bear Diner?
Yeah, it was okay. Sort of the same.
It's got in a the similar same, aesthetic.
It's in the same genre. It's
wood and rocks.
If there were a black bear statue outside, I would be like.
Tree, pictures of trees and various things.
But what were you saying?
I lost it. No, we were thinking last month we did a big, where I've always been, and it's never been really taken up by anyone, is our 99 quarter, how just, it's just not good. It's just, somebody coming from LA going up to Sacramento, somebody from Sacramento going down to LA. Like, well, where am I going to stop in Fresno? And I'm like, you can go downtown, but then I got to tell you how to do it, and then it's all a whole thing. And so there isn't like
on
a
Fresno Street.
So like, how do we fix the 99 quarter?
Oh, tell them to stop at Yosemite Falls.
Yeah. Ashland. I go. You got to stop at Ashland.
Ashland,
Yosemite Falls.
It's not just our challenge. It's a lot of cities that have a highway going through it. And, you know, they just get lined with fast food because that's what everyone
if
that's
you
traveling
drive,
wants.
I mean, if you drive the 99 or you drive the 5, and I've done it recently, like, kind of a lot, it's the same all the way up.
There's nobody else on 99 can brag.
Pretty quick hop off of 99 to Olive Garden now.
That's right. Turned it in 99. See, Olive Garden.
If you have the Olive Garden app, you can just find it.
So, there's an Olive Garden up ahead.
When I was driving back from Palm Springs, I wanted to stop and see how downtown Lancaster was doing because they've done some cool stuff. And it was like 9 in the morning on Sunday, so I was thinking, I'll find that breakfast spot that nothing opened at all in the entire downtown. But at night, it's great. Yeah. But I wanted to support the little downtown guy. And
there was nothing there.
There was nothing there.
See, that's the other thing. I think we're getting better. But there's a lot of places downtown finally that are open on weekends, open on Sundays, open earlier. So
open till 9.
Open and later, earlier and later.
9 o'clock.
Yeah.
All they need is smart meters, Craig, and we're there.
here's one other thing. And
if they're not smart, what are they?
I've noticed, I really, like, honestly want to know how we make this happen. Some sort of public restrooms downtown.
Well, so here's what I would propose. So we got, $2.8 million to redo Mariposa Plaza right at Mariposa and Fulton. So when we redo that, that would be the time to put in public restrooms because you're already
going to be
doing it, right? Yeah.
I think that has to. I mean, I have walked down recently. Every single storefront has a sign on it that says restrooms for customers only, which leads me to believe they're putting that out there for a reason, which leads me to secondarily believe those people that are not going there are doing, you know, they're peeing somewhere.
Yeah.
And that quickly will become a gigantic problem. And so it's like, we need to, you know.
Craig, do you know cities that have public restrooms? Is this like, does this cure that problem? Or
It makes it a lot better. You know, I was involved with this. I was involved with this restaurant downtown for a couple of years.
Yes.
And we did not put that sign up. And, you know, fundamentally, I think if you're selling liquid, you need to have the full transaction there. So in 3 years, we only had one problem. And that was a lady who cut her hair and just left hair all over, which is not, you know, it's not desirable, but it's not the worst.
It's not the worst.
It could be worse. Yeah. It really wasn't that bad. I really think they make a much bigger deal out of it than it really is. Yeah. And sometimes people would come in that look like they, you know, could be an iffy call. And I would just say, you know, they'd say, can I use the restroom? And I'd say, as long as you leave it as clean as you find it.
Right.
And they would.
Yeah.
I think there's a human dignity thing in there. But we do have money to redo Mariposa Plaza, hopefully put in a good stage, put shade, get sound system, lighting, and that's where I'd put a restroom.
There you go. All right. Because, yeah, I'm that's just something that's been on my mind for a while, like just seeing it and being like,
and other cities have
man,
it.
And we have to and they've done it out, you know.
So. One of the cities, a Starbucks was going into their downtown, kind of full circle to our conversation, and the city said, make your business bigger. You won't have to put restrooms inside, but we're going to put them outside facing this plaza, and you maintain them.
Oh,
And so they didn't have to spend all the money on big, huge ADA restrooms, and the city got its public restrooms. Oh. Kind of worked out pretty well. So you can get creative with it.
We probably better put a capper on this. Okay. We could go all night.
Yeah, speaking of liquid.
Well, awesome, guys. It was fun to do a show with you.
What you had in mind. This is sort of what we do, you know. It's just like all over the place.
This is perfect. We honor you as the veterans of the podcast world in Fresno.
It's nice to see other people taking
it. I see you kids like, coming up and
you know, I mean, but it is good to have other people, you know, doing it, because a lot of times you just feel like, yeah, we're out on our own here. And
there were a couple others that you mentioned.
We talked about
doing a podcast day at Peeves.
Oh, yeah.
Remember? That was your idea.
There's a new
there's
one.
There's quite a few now that are doing a bunch of different stuff, you know.
There's a new one that Matt was just on, and they talk, I forget the name. I'm not going to remember the name now. I don't know why I brought it up, but there's a lot, and we're part of several of them. But but as far as ones that talk about Fresno specifically, I don't know.
Yeah, because there's a couple comedy podcasts that I know of that are from, you know, out of the area here, but. And I think Kyle Lowe does his Lowdown podcast. I think it might be a video thing also through CMAC. But
there was one that did games or something like
the
that.
The Married Gamers.
Yep.
Married Gamers. They might still be doing it. I think so. I think they're still doing it.
So, I mean, there are
there's a craft beer show called the Perfect Pour.
Yeah, I've heard of that. I heard that one's pretty good.
Yeah, I've heard it's pretty good.
They got sponsored by BJ's.
They got two. That's not indie enough, Craig.
Every time I drive past that BJ's, I'm like, you guys don't really think this is a craft beer place.
I think they technically are.
It's a brew house.
Yeah, technically are.
It says it right there in the title. Yeah, BJ's Brew House. They have tanks there, right?
They should probably be in the brewery district.
No, I don't think they brew there. They have tanks there, don't they? Well, for fun.
There's another potential sponsor going out the door.
There goes them. Well, you could try Mad Duck. Mad Duck might
just
do it.
Ruining, yep, we're just ruining the podcast.
Mad Duck, there's going to be a new Mad Duck.
You've caught us in the middle of our...
Herndon and Marks, Mad Duck.
Yeah, next to the new ampersand.
Yeah.
Which my niece will be working at.
Oh.
Throw a plug that way.
Yeah. That's going to be a very... So at the end of our episodes, we always do this thing where we let ourselves plug things that we're doing. So maybe we could do that for you guys.
Yeah, very
Craig,
cool.
Craig, what are you up to right now? What do you like to plug?
And it doesn't have to be just the... It can be whatever you're...
Yeah.
So I'm working for an organization called CMTC, and we help small to medium-sized manufacturers. So I'm working with a bunch of the food companies and breweries and others. We've got some really good resources for them to either do marketing, and it only costs them their time, or they can become HR compliant, which is a big thing for businesses that don't like to deal with that kind of stuff. So it's really pretty fun. I love helping businesses, so I just get to bop around all day and help them. If they don't want my help, then I just go on to the next one. It's very positive, so I like it a lot.
Very good.
Good.
All right.
I'm actually transitioning out of my current career as a leader of a church, and am starting. What am I doing?
I have a
not-for-profit foundation where we're going to do some business coaching and business support, called the Core Leaders Network. And yes, and then working with a guy named Phil Skye that works for the city, and he leads a church as well. And we're doing a project called Vision 22. Sort of the premise of what Phil's doing with that is connecting churches from the 22 poorest neighborhoods in Fresno with sort of north end churches that are a little more resourced, and bringing those together. And in part of that, what I'm going to be doing is doing education on the history of poverty in Fresno. Like why?
Oh, that's all.
The B's been doing a great job of talking about the racial and economic divides, the redlining, and all that stuff. So we're going to be trying to educate some of the churches around town about that history, and some have found that very fascinating. And then my last thing, my sign, where is it? I'm going to be doing a podcast, like you say, or another
one.
Bringing
up.
Of course, you got to do.
This one's going to be called the Nonpartisan Evangelical.
That's great.
I think there's got to be a space for non-Republican. I mean, I'm a Republican, but not so vehemently Republican Christians in the world. So we're going to have some of that.
Very good. That actually sounds like a very.
Well, I'll keep you updated on it.
Yeah, awesome.
How about you guys?
Mike, you want? Okay, I'll go. So I also do another podcast. It is a martial arts podcast called Aikido Discussed, where we talk about Aikido.
Wow.
And that is a weekly thing that you can find on all your iTunes and whatnot.
And that is spelled Discussed?
It is spelled like discussion. But
not D-I-S.
But it's the play is there because sometimes, you know, you get disgusted by...
So Aikido is a passion of yours?
I actually am an assistant instructor at Aikido of Fresno.
Oh.
And I've been doing that forever, so...
I love Aikido.
It's great. Yeah. So, do that every week. And then I work, obviously, with the Fresno Bee is my day job. And then I am in several bands that play...
Plug them.
So, Striking the Originals, the punk rock band, It'll Grow Back, punk rock band. And Big Balls is the AC/DC cover band that we'll be playing. We'll be playing in March, two shows in March. So,
one of my favorite AC/DC songs, by the way, Big Balls.
Big Balls.
It's a song.
I remember when I was 12 or something, and what was the rock station back in the day?
KRZR.
It must have been right around the time when AC/DC was on the comeback, and so they were playing all these old stuff. And I was in the car one time with my mom, and Big Balls came on, and I'm 12 or whatever, and it's the funniest thing in the world to me. I'm like, oh my God, he's talking about balls, but not balls. And my mom was just not having it. She was just shaking her head, you know. She let me listen to it, which
kids
I appreciate.
These days.
Right.
Yeah.
So when it came time to put this whole thing together, and I don't know if the band, because they had been playing with without a singer for a while, and then I came in, and I don't know if they already had the band name there, but I just thought it was so perfect. I was just like, yes, let's do it. So.
That's classic.
My 4-year-old grandson's favorite song is Thunderstruck.
That's a great song.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that.
We only do the old
Von Scott stuff. Old, wow.
We're nerds that way.
So. So you wouldn't do a 4-year-old birthday party and...
Well, maybe. That'd be just that song. Show up and just play that song over and over. That'd be great, actually. If the
I'm very happy for
the money's right.
Yeah, I know. That's right. Josh, this is our manager. Mike's my manager. Yeah, yeah.
We'll throw some me and Ed's at the band.
Yeah, but hey, I played for less, so.
The B, right. Did you talk about the B, Josh?
I did, yeah. Yes,
oh, okay. Everyone knows. Sorry, I don't know what's going on.
Which I hear from Devin Nunes is going out of business.
Surprise, yeah.
How are you still here?
I've been kind of quiet lately.
Yeah. All right.
Besides flowing, I do another podcast called The Perfect Pour. It's a beer geek show. Every Friday we have a new show. I do it with Matt Napolitano and Nick Napolitano. Matt, you may know from running the beer garden at Tioga Sequoia downtown. And both Nick and Matt are big Volkswagen guys. If you're in the Volkswagen scene around town, you would know who they are. But
Nick designed that kiosk in
Nick,
the tower.
Yeah, and Nick designed that tower kiosk.
Oh, really?
Out in front of the Tower Theater.
I think I knew that. Yeah.
Yeah.
These are both great guys.
Yeah. I'm very lucky to have them with me. And then there's an old podcast called Dorktown that's been around almost as long as Flowing. It's on hiatus right now. It's been on hiatus for a while, but I'll come back with Bells and the producer, and then
get off my podcast.
I have to say it like that.
That's right.
It's Harrison Ford show. So the my cousin Trent and I, big Harrison Ford geeks, and we talk about Harrison Ford whenever there's an opportunity to.
Which is the greatest thing about podcasting is that, like, whatever the thing you're into, you can make a podcast about it and people will listen, you know? Which I think is great, so.
I listen to about 6 permaculture and soil podcasts.
Right, oh, yeah.
See? I mean, where are you going to find
that? Right,
it really deep into whatever you're into. You can dig deep.
I like the Pod Save America guys. I don't know if you guys have ever listened to them.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great show. A
lot of swear words on that one.
They even graduated to an HBO show out of that show. So that's the dream. They're living the podcaster dream.
Yeah. In fact, that was one of my questions that I thought of, but not professional enough to write down, was what other podcasts do people listen to? Because I think the whole... I was surprised. I think I mentioned this. I spoke to the North Fresno Rotary about 2 weeks ago, and I mentioned the podcast, and I said, how many of you listen to podcasts? And I didn't think it would be that many.
Yeah.
So older skewing, and that's me saying that. And it's probably like 95% of the room said they'd listen to a podcast.
I mean, people, that's surprising. Because there's a lot of different types of podcasts too now. You know, like you have the Serial, like the True Crime podcast. And so there's a lot of podcasts that are becoming like popular that aren't what we would normally consider
Yeah, full production.
Yeah, so you know, so it might be a limited run thing, you know, like Serial, where it's just telling this, you know, McClatchy did this whole series that was a podcast tracking this particular case. So, I mean, I think people are using podcasts differently, so that's probably why. And a lot of people also, you know, they'll listen to KMJ as a podcast. You know, so they might listen to Ray Appleton on their phone or whatever, and...
I love the Serial thing, by the way, and I'm just looking at my list right here. This one called Slow Burn, that Slate podcast did. They did 2 seasons, and one was on Watergate, an 8 series episode on the history of Watergate, and the other was an 8 series episode on the Monica Lewinsky, Whitewater, Bill Clinton stuff, and fabulously well done. Obviously, they spent a ton of money putting it together, but yeah, I love those.
There's some really good journalism happening via podcasting lately, I think.
I do too.
I'm seeing a lot of that, so.
And the depth without the soundbite.
And it's kind of funny, if you listen to Slow Burn, you're like, okay, I get it. You're clearly equating what happened in 1972 to what's going on today. I get the alliteration here.
A little heavy-handed.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for being on with us.
Oh, no. Thank you. This is super fun.
We'll do it
again. Sorry we talked so much about food.
Yeah,
but
sorry.
No.
It's just the way the conversation went.
I think that's something we all have in common. All right. 4 guys talking Fresno.
I like it. We'll do
4 guys flowing with famous.
That's right. Yeah. Flowing with 4 guys. What do have? We'll tweak that.
Wow. I wonder what that show would be about. If you didn't know.
All right, we'll see you next time on Two Guys Talking Fresno and
Flowing with Famous.